All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm speaking to you from the Borough of Queens. It is the fifth day of July, 2022. Before I talk more about today's show, I do like to remind you that I'm the editor of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and that you can subscribe to that letter by going to miningstocks.com. Like to plug Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling, especially if you would like to venture into the biotechs. There's some really exciting stories there. And it's an industry that a lot of times runs counter to the big markets as well. So it certainly is doing pretty well today and has been through some of the rough days that we've experienced recently in equity markets. So chenpicks.com is a place to go for that. And of course, we always like to remind you of Michael Oliver's excellent newsletter. Go to olivermsa.com for that, olivermsa.com. I want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. I'd also like to invite you to continue sending along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number four, taylor@gmail.com. And we need to thank our sponsors because without them, there would be no show. This week's sponsors are Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Eloro Resources, Core Asset Corp, SK Mining, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, and Reyna Gold Corp. I've titled today's show, What Happens If Russia Wins the Financial War? Alistair MacLeod, Michael Oliver, and Michael Wood return. So far, sanctions have backfired on those countries described by Vladimir Putin as unfriendly nations. As David Stockman recently said on my June 28th show, he said, and I quote, Washington's cowardly proxy war against Russia reached a new level of absurdity over the weekend. To wit, the G7 knuckleheads declared an embargo on imports of Russia-sourced gold and forced Russia into technical default on its foreign debts by forbidding U.S. companies from collecting the payments which Russia debtors had deposited in their accounts at non-sanctioned Russian banks. In a word, ordinary commerce has been so weaponized by Washington that the world's oldest money can no longer be freely exchanged on international markets. At the same time, interest payments made in good faith by Russian borrowers have been effectively seized and frozen in place by the U.S. government. And yet, where are the free enterprise Republicans? End of quote. That from David Stockman. Well, I would suggest that the free enterprise Republicans have joined the military-industrial complex swamp that President Eisenhower warned us about as he was leaving the White House back in 1960. Those people simply don't want peace with Putin or anyone because that wouldn't be good for profits in the military-industrial complex. Thousands of companies that feed off the feeding trough of free money, cheap money from the United States taxpayers. That may be a topic we'll talk more to David Stockman about. He will be my guest next week. So what happens if Russia wins the financial war? Alistair, who will be with me in the second half of today's show, opined on June 23 that Russia is definitely winning the financial war, and if the U.S. military-industrial complex continues printing money to finance weapons used to force other adversaries into submission, as well as other socialist vote-buying policies that continue to run America into bankruptcy, well, what happens then? Well, we'll talk to Alistair about that in the second half of today's show. My view is that it will continue to accelerate the pace at which the dollar heads towards the dustbin of history. That may sound alarmist, but we'll investigate those ideas with Alistair in the second half of today's show. Michael Wood will join me right after our first commercial break to provide an update on an exciting macro really a micro cap company. It's about a $10 million market cap in the U.S. right now, with a world-class exploration project in Mexico. And that company is one of our sponsors, Arena Gold Corp. But right now, I'm really happy to tell you Michael Oliver is here to share his view on these really crazy markets. Thank you for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back. Interesting times.
Well, it is, to say the least. You mentioned something about a Forex crisis when your notes to me this morning. Could you explain what you're thinking?
Yeah, the first off, gold. Everybody's nervous about gold. And I know silver and the miners have been beat up. But gold right now is down 3.3% on the year. Compare that to any other major asset category. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's like unbelievable. Now, the dollar, which is a widely focused issue right now, everybody's all bullish on the dollar, and that means, you know, the dollar is strong versus other pieces of paper, okay, the yen and the euro. Well, okay, Powell is a hawk. The ECB has now gone back to more of a dove status after attempting to go the other way, and the BOJ has not deviated from being a radical dove, okay, easy money. Now, therefore, in the process, people, investors have moved more of their cash into dollars, okay?
Yep.
And that's been a wise decision. The dollar's up 10% on the year right now from where it closed last year. Now, when you look back, going back to 2015 on the dollar index, we're only up about 3% above the high of 2015. So it's no big deal when you look at the longer-term stretch. Since then, gold doubled. Dollar's up 3% higher than it was 7 years ago, okay? No big deal. Most of the dollar run occurred in early part of this year, and that's what turned a lot of heads. Now, when we do our technical analysis, not looking at the price charts, I mean, we look at those too, but looking at price measured against various duration moving averages, short-term to long-term, we find a situation that looks ripe for a fairly dramatic top and downturn, the kind of snap that would surprise and ambush, we're using the word ambush, many investors who've gotten on this train. Now, again, looking at the dollar versus gold, it has not really had a major impact on gold. Obviously, gold wouldn't have doubled if the dollar only went up 3% in 7 years, right? Okay, that makes sense that gold doubled during that time. But recently, there has been a negative correlation between the two, inverse correlation, where the euro's demise, and it just broke through the May low today, finally, the yen and the dollar to the upside, the gold has been behaving in sync with that situation, so opposite to the dollar. Now, if the dollar, in fact, by our metrics, looks like it's on the cusp of a downward snap, meaning that this little orgy we've just seen over the last several months of people rushing to own the dollar, if that was mistaken or overdone, or both of those probably apply, then when the downturn comes, it's going to surprise people. Now, Why is this a big issue? Well, first off, the gold has been weathering it well because, like I said, dollar's up 10% on the year, gold's only down 3. So it's been taking that pretty well. And, of course, versus the other currencies, dollar looks quite good, obviously. The problem is that the inflation we're seeing in the U.S., when you see it in Europe and see it in Japan, it's exacerbated now by the weakness in their currencies. So if you're Japanese or you're European and you want to buy energy, you want to buy food, you're having to pay a lot more euros to get what you want and need. And therefore, the economic downturn that we're going to see globally will likely show up more so in Europe and Japan first than it will here, though we have the bigger bubble, actually. So right now, the Europeans are in dire economic situation where they have both high food and energy prices. Factories are being threatened to shut down. I'm talking German industries. Some industrialists are saying, you know, not just partial, but total shutdown. We have a pending food crisis, but the prices of the foreign exchange markets have exacerbated the situation for those other developed parts of the world. If they turn down economically, partly due to the drop in their own currencies and therefore their inability to acquire what they need, that's going to take us down. So here's Jerome Powell playing hawk. Everybody's intimidated. He's going to stay a hawk. And yet he's sitting on top of a situation where he can see, one, that our stock market is not just declining. You know, it's been collapsing, relatively speaking. And two, the Europeans are screaming, and the Japanese are, that something's got to be done about the 4X situation, or they're going to implode. Mm-hmm. So what's he going to do? Is that going to cause him to raise rates more, or maybe to come out with some little terminology in the next month or so or weeks that says, well, we're going to end up our tapering at the next meeting, you know, that kind of thing. Because he's sitting on a keg of dynamite. Mm-hmm. And I think the gold market is the beneficiary of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Because it sure doesn't look like it now, Michael, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. And if things turn, they can turn very quickly. So I guess that means you got to be ready for it. You can't just wait because you'll
it's
be
a technical
by the time
right
you figure
now,
it out, it'll be a big move.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the V bottom in silver and gold, because I think of all the assets in the world, and we measure them versus the commodity complex, we measure gold versus the S&P, all of our metrics look like that kind of coiled spring upturn is about to occur.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at gold at, I don't know, 1768 or something like that. Silver is below 21, or it's around 21 or something like that, I guess.
No, it's in the 19s, so, you know, it's...
Well, I saw
the sustainability of this, and we think it's very, very brief, if not almost immediate, that it could turn back up. We're measuring for that turn. We don't have it yet, so don't jump the gun, but we think it's highly likely, and we're watching the dollar in that regard as well, because we think it's highly vulnerable to a snap to the downside that sustains.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw an article this morning that said the retail investor is giving up, throwing in the towel on silver. So that could be a good sign, I suppose.
The lowest commitment of traders positive situation in many years. So the commitment of traders report on silver validates what you just said. Nobody's bullish.
Last time we had meetings like this was
March 2020 was the last time we had commitment of traders this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like a capitulation. Sort of the psychology looks like that of a capitulation situation for silver and maybe for gold, too. I think people are really, and the gold shares, my goodness, the juniors that I follow and track have just been bludgeoned. It's just, it has to be one of the best opportunities in the world for people that have managed to retain some cash during this period of time. Well, also we're seeing, you know, the base metals and the commodities in general get smacked really hard. Copper is down. Oil, of course,
got
hit.
We called the negative on copper at 450. It's now down under 350. We thought it would go to 350. Copper's industrial-related, therefore it could suffer. However, the energy markets we don't think are going to collapse. They've had a sharp drop back to recent lows, no big deal. Got into the 90s. That's a low. compared to recent years. I think energy is likely to stay at very high levels and oscillate violently, but at high levels compared to prior years. The food's where I'd watch now. I think the food commodities are pending. They're selling off right now, but I think the grains and sugar and some of these other commodities like that we consume have another major upleg coming, and that will not be comfortable for a lot of people and for economies. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Michael, I saw that in Europe, I think maybe this is in Germany, natural gas is up fivefold. The price is up fivefold. Electricity is up four times. Mm-hmm. Electricity prices are up. And, I mean, how can you run an economy? And this is, you know, clearly because of the sanctions against Russia. It's really messed up the markets. And you can't solve that with money. You can't solve that problem with money, by printing money, as that's all they know to do, and that's all. I suppose you're suggesting ultimately that's what we're going to see from Powell.
Ultimately, the Fed will have to do that. They have no choice. They have the biggest bubble in stock market history is breaking. It's broken. It's going lower. You will have real economic data points that will follow it rapidly. Even Zuckerberg's telling people to go ahead and quit.
Yeah.
They're going to get fired. Okay? Other corporate heads have already warned of that. It's not a joke. It's real. Powell apparently sitting on top of his academic pile there, thinking he knows best. Well, reality is going to smack him.
Yeah.
He'll be at a unique point in history where even the ECB and the BOJ will be screaming at him, you know, in phone calls. You've got to alter this situation. We're dying. So it's a monetary crisis. And I think gold knows it. And I think it's positioned for it.
Yeah, I would think it could very well be. We may look back at this time and say, wow, I woulda, shoulda, coulda, bought more gold and gold shares and silver yeah. shares. But time will tell, but it sure looks like it. You and I have been through a lot of these cycles, Michael, so it's not as if this is our first rodeo. And that's helpful, too, I think, to help put it all in perspective. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us again and giving us your insights. They're always very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks. Well, Michael Wood is coming up with us right after the commercial break. And a very exciting story there, a company with, I think, world-class gold exploration project in Mexico. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Michael Wood.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.